Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call to order the August 28th, 2019 variance hearing. My name is Corey Teague. I'm the zoning administrator. I'm joined by our executive secretary, Eva Atahera Taylor. Apologize in advance. It's a little warm in here. Even going into last week, they were having issues with the AC in City Hall. It doesn't seem like they've completely got those fixed. So just bear with us. We're all suffering the same temperature together. Just going to go over some general information about the order of presentation for cases today. So sponsors or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. And if there's any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, then the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. And at the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. And if anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step up when that item is called. Otherwise, it will be granted. And there are currently 2 items listed on the consent calendar today. The public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda, and members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria required for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding 4, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. And so due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. I've actually been getting a lot of questions from sponsors after the hearing on this one. So as much as possible, try to relay that information back to property owners that you represent and people who may be interested. And just to say that again, today, a final decision will not be made. The final decision is based on when the actual letter is issued, which could be up to 2 months after today. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located on the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. The zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that decision letter is issued. Private conversations are very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside the hearing room. The next variance hearing is scheduled for September 25th, next month, and audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website going back to January 1st, 2011. So now we will move on to today's calendar, and we'll start with a housekeeping item, which is that item number 4 for 44 Douglas Street, case number 2018-007725-VAR, had a request for discretionary review filed against its associated building permit. And that discretionary review hearing has been scheduled for November 21st, 2019. So that item will be continued to November 21st, 2019 to be heard jointly with the Planning Commission. Is there any public comment regarding this proposed continuance for item number 4 to November 21st, 2019? Okay. Seeing none, then that item is continued. moving on, we will call the consent calendar.
We have 2 items for our consent calendar. Item number 1, case number 280 280- 2018-017-007-VAR, 342 Miramar Avenue, side yard variance sought. Item number two, case number 2019-004679-VAR, 78 Carmel Street, rear yard variance sought.
So any public comment on those two items on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, then those items will be granted with the standard conditions, and we'll move on to the, do you have a comment on the consent items? Yes, please bring those forward for the consent items, if you have those.
Moving to our regular calendar, item number three, case number 2019-001903-VAR, 1701 and 1703 McKinnon Avenue, area lot and lot with variances sought. Is the project sponsor here for this project? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, good morning. My name is Sam Alaoudi, and here is my brother, Omar Alaoudi. I and my brother are the two of us owning that two buildings, 1701 and 1703 McKinnon Avenue. We would like to move both of us to the properties. Each one of us own his own property, and it has a free hand to pay his own mortgage and property taxes separately and et cetera. Furthermore, just in rare situation, if any one of us wants to sell his own property, could do that without forcing the other party to sell his share. And I want to point also that there are two properties in the same, very same block, has smaller lots, which is in Newhall, is in the same block. One of them is 1208 Newhall, and the other one is, it has only 1149 square feet. The other property is, let me see, there are two of them, anyway. One of them is 1123 square foot, and the other one is 1149 in the very same block. I want also to point that, no one will be affected at all, by having this imaginary line. It is the opposite. If we move into the properties, which is we work only one block away from those properties, will save us a lot of, time and stress and traffic every day going back and forth to work. And also, if we move in, we'll maintain the property better than, having to rent that to a tenant. That will increase the value for the properties and for the whole street. And by having that imaginary line, it's not going to affect by any mean to anyone in the, whatsoever in the neighborhood or anywhere else. And it's the opposite. It's a win-win situation for my family and my brother's family. Will create an ease in life for both families. And also, because there is no, even the neighbors, if we maintain the property better and we, that will increase the value for the whole street. And, we hope that, we will grant it that variance that will make our life easier for me and my brother. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close public comment. Just have a couple quick questions for you, sir.
Sure.
So there was a, basically an identical variance request made back in 2015, 2016, and that was denied. It seems that your ownership came about in 2017. I don't know if you were part of the prior ownership. Were you involved in the prior variance application?
Yes.
Okay. And so it didn't seem like the rationale had really changed since then. Has there been any change in situation, or is there any real different argument than what was made at that time?
The changes now is the property at that time was not built. Now it's built, and would not create will never create any problem for anyone whatsoever in the neighbors. And I feel that in that time, I was treated unfairly. And at that time, that's my belief, because if there's two properties in the very same block with a smaller lot, I'm not sure why. I mean, why should I be, you know, having the same you know, treatment?
I believe those lots were created prior to the lot size requirement, and that they didn't actually receive a variance for it. We can double check that. I know that this property is owned RH2, so, you know, principally permitted, any property regardless of size is permitted to have up to two units. And so sometimes, I know splitting a standard size property into two smaller properties, sometimes there's concerns about overdevelopment. So there could be potentials for granting a variance, but limiting the amount of development that's permitted on the site. That's something that could be considered. But I'm going to take a look at this one based on that issue, in terms of if there's a potential to grant the variance, but put some type of conditions on the variance that would provide kind of adequate controls. And I will take this one under advisement.
Thank you so much. I hope, you know, to consider this, I mean, to make my life and my brother's life's families, I mean, a lot better.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2016-014049 VAR, 172-174 Terra Vista Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Ernie C. Lander, architect for the project. Good morning, Mr. Teague. It's been a long and slow process for us to get here. We're very excited to be here right now. My client is supposed to be here. I don't know where he is, but very quickly, I think there are just 3 points to consider on this. First, I believe in the application I outlined how easily the findings could be made to support this variance. I can go over those a little bit later if you wish. Two, I'd like to point out that we're essentially creating 3 new units of housing with this variance. And 3, and most importantly, is that we actually have the support of the HOA and the community for this project. I actually did a variance around the corner, a similar one a few years ago, and that one the neighborhood was opposed to, but on this one they are with us and are, I believe they've sent some emails to Planner May indicating their support. Rather than take up any of your time, if you have any questions, I can answer them.
I don't have any questions at this time. Is there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item for 172 to 174 Terra Vista Avenue?
This is the
owner. Yeah. If you'd like to take some time
Operate.
To speak, we can backtrack.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Start?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would really consider having my project to go forward for me and my family. We've been living in that neighborhood for over 15 years now, but my family is getting smaller and we would like to stay in the city, and this is the only way we can afford to accommodate my family for my job and my wife's job as well. Also, considering the back side of O'Farrell Street, basically myself and my neighbor, the laws basically are useless. We don't do much with them because it's basically windy most time of the year, and also it brings a lot of garbage and rubbish, and people try to throw some dispose their belongings on that side of the street because it's not busy. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll call again. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak to this item? Okay. Seeing none, then public comment is closed. I know this project's been through a lot of review, made some revisions for design purposes. I have not received any emails or letters or phone calls from anyone in the neighborhood in opposition or with concern. I have received letters of support from the Anza Vista Neighborhood Association and I believe two or three adjacent and nearby neighbors. I agree this is a an unusual lot situation for a lot of this block and this parcel in particular, and it does kind of lend itself to this type of development, which when done well is reasonable and makes a lot of sense. So I generally support the variance. I will note that the 311 notification for the building permit is still underway. It's scheduled to expire on September 9th. So I generally support this, but I will take the variance under advisement to allow the 311 to conclude.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. My both neighbor next door directly are supportive of them.
Yeah, I believe I got letters from both of them.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2019-002272VAR, 34 Steiner Street, rear yard variance lot. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Thank
you.
It's
only going to take less than 4 minutes, we believe.
Okay, great.
Apologize for that.
All right.
Your morning is going quickly. Good morning, Toby Morris. And put this up.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Corey Teague. Toby Morris for Kerman Morris Architects, representing Mr. Frank Rosenberg, the project sponsor for 34 Steiner. The project consists of alterations to existing 7-unit building to create 2 more units under permitted density. The project is RTO zoning and allows 1 dwelling unit for 600 square feet of lot area, so 9 units are allowed here. We've worked for about a year and a half with planning with various planners. We did have approval for this project through calendar 38, but when those plans made it to DBI, they were rejected because we needed this firewall to protect the second means of egress off of the roof. So following the advice of Dori Ganatos and David Weissglass, we filed this variance. Here are a few images of the existing stair. It's a wooden stair at the back of the property. This is the existing condition. The stair is open, wood framed. And this is the proposed condition, basically to take that one back section of the existing wooden stair and sheathe it with layers of gyp and siding to create a firewall. Note that Section 311 notification has occurred between July 22nd and August 21. No filings were made. We met with abutting neighbors, and I understand there's a letter of support in the file, so no DR filed. So I'll go through the five findings. The first is extraordinary circumstances. So the property has several extraordinary circumstances not applying to other surrounding properties. The first is no complying rear yard. The building occupies about 85% of the lot. There is no real rear yard, only side yards of about 5 feet wide. There's no usable open space either. None of the existing 7 units have complying open space. and the small open areas at grade don't meet the dimensional requirements for either private or common open space. So literal enforcement of the code would result in unnecessary hardship. Strict enforcement of 134 would preclude adding open space, and with that, essentially forbid this property to add additional housing units. I don't see how that's any benefit to the city. The only feasible place for complying open space is on the roof, where two X's are required. However, without a variance granted by the planning department, the existing rear stair can't be upgraded with fire protection that DBI, the fire department, and the building code require for safe exiting. The requested variance 3 is necessary for enjoyment of property rights possessed by others in the neighborhood, namely open space. You can see that basically many of the properties in the neighborhood enjoy rear yards and have access to open space. The requested variance with the fire protection will allow all of our units, both the 7 existing and the 2 new, to have access to open space on the roof. 4, that granting the variance will not be detrimental to public welfare or private interests. The firewall is virtually invisible from the public way. It has no impact on light and air for abutting properties. It will not be the roof deck that we propose to put on the roof will be not visible from the street. And again, there was no opposition. So we believe this is consistent with the planning code and the general plan to enable small variances like this, and we hopefully have your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close public comment. Just to clarify, obviously this is part of a larger project that includes adding units and the roof deck and additional interior work, but the only item that's part of this proposal that triggers the variance is the addition of the firewall. As you mentioned, the stairs are existing. It's not an addition of new stairs. This is a kind of a unique lot configuration that's disconnected from the mid-block open space. It's essentially up against the blind wall. And not really visible, and instead of being harmful to the neighbor, it would actually be helpful in terms of a life safety perspective, adding the firewall. We do have a interpretation that if a required second means of egress stairs in its like minimal state in terms of what's required under the building code is exempt from 311 and variances, but any associated firewall is not, and so that's kind of why we're here today. But I agree with the premise you laid out as to how the project meets the 5 required findings, and as you mentioned, 311 notice has already expired, and there was no discretionary review filed, so I intend to grant this variance with the standard conditions.
Great. So I was struggling out there looking for a declaration of posting, so can I follow up with that?
Please.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2019-001033VAR, 727 Natoma Street, rear yard, exposure, and open space, variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Diamond. I'm the owner and the designer for the project.
Can you just speak into the mic if possible? Thank you.
Is that a little better?
Thank you.
So we've been working on this project for about 3.5 years under the guidance of 2 different planners who have worked closely with over that 3.5 year period. We're proposing to add 2 floors and 5 new units to an existing building, as well as build out the basement with units in the basement. We're requesting a variance for rear yard, for the exposure, and for open space. All 3 of those issues are really tied to the rear yard, where if we were granted the rear yard variance, I think it would clear up the other issues as well. Our rear yard is existing, the building's existing. We have a 6'3" rear yard existing. We're proposing to expand that at the basement level to 8'3", and at the new upper floors, we're expanding that further to comply with the rear yard as closely as we possibly can. The fabric of the block, which I'll show you, so this is our property right here. You can see that there's really no mid-block open space on this block at all. All the properties are built almost to the property line, if not to the property line in almost every case. Our property is blocked in 95% on three sides that we share with other properties. The only opening we have really is at the front of our property. Increasing our rear yard wouldn't allow any more sun or light or air into our property, which is really the purpose of the rear yard, is to give access to the mid-block open space and for light and air. We have a 50-foot building on one side, 55 on the other, and a 226-foot building is blocking in our rear yard. Also, our property is considered contributed to a historic district and historic on its own to some degree, so we couldn't make any changes to the front yard. So exposure we couldn't provide at the front of the property because we couldn't make any changes to the front facade. So we put the basement units facing onto the rear yard rather than the front street. So that's why we're requesting a variance there. The open space, we've set the rear yard back as far as we can to be practical on the basement level, which is where we don't have the open space requirement. We've also added a roof garden that's about 300 plus square feet. That doesn't count towards the total count because in this district, roof gardens don't count towards the total open space, but we still provided that for the building and all the tenants. We're also, because we're historic, required to have a significant setback at the front of the property, which further limits our ability to set back at the rear. Obviously, it pinches the building quite a bit if we do that. I think that's about all. Oh, and one other thing. On the corner of our property, which is out of view on the image I have up there, there's a new project that was just proposed. It's 100-plus residential units. And again, they've gotten some kind of variance for their rear yard because they don't have a traditional rear yard on their property as well. Like the building to our right, the first building on that property goes all the way through to Howard Street from Natoma, so there's no rear yard there either. So basically the mid-block open space just doesn't exist on our block. So,
okay. Thank you.
All right.
Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing no public comment, I will close the public comment. I would note that I have received a few letters of opposition, primarily from neighbors who are in the adjoining building that have some property line windows.
Right.
Generally property line windows are not protected. That's a bit of a risk on their part. Just as a matter of understanding, the main concern I've had with this proposal is not necessarily the vertical addition, so much as the context at the rear. You mentioned that there's not really a mid-block open space established there, and that's true. So from a pure rear yard perspective, you know, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to acquire maybe a full rear yard there. But the flip to that is that because there's not a mid-block open space there and it is heavily developed, that means that there's also really limited light and air that gets down there to where those basement level units are being proposed, to an extent that they'd have really, really deficient exposure. So that's a concern of mine, especially considering the property is already a substandard lot. It's only about 1,900 square feet, so it's a small lot. So I'm a bit concerned about granting a variance that would essentially be a bit of overdevelopment for the site in terms of its ability to really handle that many units in a minimum quality way. So I definitely have those concerns. I also point out that technically the CEQA determination for this project hasn't been finalized yet. I know it was scheduled to and it got delayed, and right. So we generally don't have hearings if CEQA isn't completed yet. We kept it on today. It is scheduled to be issued sometime in September. So just to be clear, I can't issue any decision letter on the variance until that is finalized, but just to make everyone aware that, you know, that CEQA determination has not been finalized yet. So even beyond the normal timelines for issuing a letter, I would not be able to issue a decision letter on this variance until that CEQA determination was finalized. And that's the main issue for me. The additional units you're adding at the top, kind of going up and getting kind of adequate exposure to light and air, I'm not as concerned about that portion of the project. I'm mostly concerned about the addition of the units at the basement level. And
is that in terms of exposure or in terms of rear yard?
Yes, primarily in terms of exposure. Okay. That's the primary concern for those units down there. So with that concern and also considering the CEQA not being complete, I will take this matter under advisement.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2018-003085 VAR for Aqua Vista Way, front setback and rear yard variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Yes, hello. The purpose of this hearing, I guess, is to try to approve this irregular lot configuration. This lot has existing building. It consists of approximately 850 square feet. In the first floor, there is existing garage, and there is an open area underneath the second floor canopy. The second floor is approximately, as I said, 800 square feet. And it's pretty much located at the property line in front. What we're proposing is a vertical addition and horizontal addition. And one of the main reasons for the front setback variance that we're asking for is existing house is there already, and we're not going past that building. The rear yard is a difficult point. This building has a 62 feet on the right side and 14 feet on the left side at the property line. It's very irregular lot. So if you go by today's standards, this building is not even buildable. However, the rest of the lots on the same block, the back line is kind of square. This lot was completely cut off. We don't know for what reason, but we have to live with it. The entire backside of the property is a very steep hill. We've done some supporting soil stabilization measures and installed retaining walls previously. And right now, all we're essentially asking for is to infill behind the existing retaining walls. This is a new Irish family. At the time when we did phase one, they had one child. Now they have three. So space is of utmost importance, and use of the yards and facilities. So we would definitely ask for granting the variance based on existing conditions and the lot size and the lot shape. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public here who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. This is obviously an unusual lot configuration, as you mentioned, both in terms of shape and the varying depths. Also, your mid-block open space is essentially Twin Peaks, so it's a little bit of a different context than the most blocks, right? I mean, you don't have a traditional lot configuration where you have a mid-block open space and then another set of homes fronting on an adjacent street. You're literally back up onto Twin Peaks. And as you mentioned, there's an existing home already. There's an existing development context that's there and legal. So I think all of those add up to some pretty exceptional, extraordinary circumstance. And the proposal that's been that's in front of us has been reviewed by our department, determined to be consistent with the residential design guidelines, and is pretty modest and reasonable in nature. So for all those reasons, I generally support this proposal and intend to grant with the standard conditions. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2018-012489 VAR, 2566 to 2568 Pine Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, 5 minutes.
Good morning, Corey. John Lum, project architect. First, I'd like to introduce the building owner, Michael Kenny, who lives with his wife and their children at the property. So I'll have a couple of seconds of speaking.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing us today. My wife, Sally Ann, and I and our three children have lived in San Francisco for 25 years. We're very proud of our city and living there. We are not property developers or builders or flippers. We're simply a couple looking to invest in and restore what we believe is a magnificent property to its original grandeur, and in doing so, to put much-needed housing stock back on the market. We plan to add an ADU on the ground floor, ultimately making it a 5-unit building. We're committed to legalizing this, the rear structure, and following planning and building guidelines as part of this multi-year restoration. Our vision for the property is a beautifully restored, multi-unit, environmentally and bike-friendly green property that supports all we love about our city. We firmly believe we're doing all the right things here and appreciate your support.
Thank you, Michael. So this variance application is a request to retain an existing carriage house that is located in the required rear yard of a four-unit building. Originally, the property was a large single-family house built in 1889 on an unusually long and wide lot, 42 feet 6 by 137 feet 6 inches. And the main house was divided somewhere around 1940 or so, probably after the World War II. And there is no, after the last Sanborn mapping, the carriage house was constructed. So we're not exactly sure when it was constructed. We do see it referenced in a 1990 permit for the side neighbor. And then also the Kenny's contractor looked at the wiring and structure and surmised that it might be from the 1960s. The carriage house consists of a single car garage with a rec room and a bathroom that is used by the occupants. And its rear wall doubles as a retaining wall for the steeply sloped site. Its roof is nearly flush with grade. And so given its low profile, there's no negative impact to the mid-block open space. So here's some photographs that Michael is showing here. Both adjacent neighbors occupy their required rear yard and have tall decks and stairs that extend further past the face of the carriage house. And these neighbors are in support of the variance and have included letters of support. We also have an additional one, and we'll give those to you, Corey. The Kennys, who have just bought and moved into the property last year, would like to retain the carriage house structure for use by themselves and the tenants. The Kennys would like to convert the space into an ADU, but unfortunately cannot until 3 years after its legalization due to current ADU policy. The Kennys have a keen interest in adding to the city's housing stock, and under a separate pending permit, as he stated, will be installing a new two-bedroom ADU in the basement of the main building. After initial discussion with the planning staff, both ADUs could be supported on the property. The RDAP reviewed the variance application and requested three alterations to the existing site to offset the anticipated variance approval. One was to add landscaping to the front yard. Two was to remove the carriage house driveway and modify the garage. And three, reduce the existing curb cut to the current standards. So the proposed project converts the existing paved front setback into 39% planted, 53% permeable area. The side driveway is reduced to a garden pathway for required occupant egress, and the garage is converted into bicycle storage. The Kennys asked us to maintain the existing curb cut and as it allows them to back up safely out of the garage because Pine Street, which is a busy one-way street, is very difficult to get out of. We're proposing in this new proposal, which has not been shown in the drawings, that we would reduce the curb cut to 20 feet to allow them still to back out safely while allowing for a new on-street parking space. So recapping our variance findings, finding one, the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances that the structure exists and was built by previous owners, circa unknown. Its back wall is a major retaining wall for the rear yard and the current tenants benefit from the building for storage and recreation. The planning code encourages retaining existing habitable space, especially space that could be used for housing in the future. Finding two, literal enforcement of the code would force the demolition of the carriage house, requiring rebuilding of necessary retaining walls while removing beneficial storage and communal recreation space, all at a great and an otherwise unnecessary expense. Finding three, the variance is necessary for the preservation and use of the extant decades-old carriage house, something that is enjoyed by two other properties on the same block. Forcing the removal would eliminate its conversion into a future ADU, impacting both the property and the city as a whole. And finding four, the existing structure currently exists, has not been materially detrimental to the public welfare, injuries to the property, or improvements in the vicinity. The structure is less than 3 feet above grade at the rear, in essence the basement, with all three adjoining neighbors having higher grades than the subject property. And finding five, the granting of the variance to legalize the structure does not affect the mid-block open space and would not adversely affect the city's general plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Couple quick questions. This is obviously a bit of a unique case. The property owner does not live at the site, correct?
Yeah, no, the property owners do live
okay,
there.
Okay, they're
yes.
one of the units that are in the existing
exactly.
building.
Yes.
Okay. And so right now there are essentially two single-car garages in the main house and then one single-car garage in the rear building?
Yes, and one would drive along that driveway.
Right. And do you know who uses those parking spaces right now? Are one of those dedicated to the property owner?
Yes, I believe both of the garages are currently occupied by Michael and Sally Ann.
Okay. And what about the one that's in the rear?
The one in the rear is not really being used currently. It's because, you know, it's unclear what to do with that space right now. And when they bought the property, they want to use it properly. So, and to have people drive along that side is complicated.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's obviously a challenge also with the with kind of the access for the ADUs as well, or at least one of the ADUs. Okay. And so the proposal for now is, how is the rear building used right now? I mean, does it use it all, or do residents in the front building use it for anything?
Is it now it's just set up as a rec room. Mm-hmm. So it's basically just there's a bathroom, and then the garage is being used as storage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's set up as a rec room. Does anybody actually use it? I'm just curious if it's like in use.
We use it.
Please come to the if you mind. You could just talk a little bit about how it's currently used.
Yeah, we use it with bean bags and chairs for our kids to essentially hang out at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a large open floor space.
Mm-hmm.
What's currently a garage at the side, we just use to store things, including bicycles.
Okay.
The plan is to convert it into entirely bicycle storage.
Okay. So the plan...
Okay. The garage, that is.
Right. So right now, the proposal is to convert that rear garage space purely into bicycle storage?
Yes.
You have 11 bikes, is what you said?
Yes.
Okay, so then where, if the proposal is to remove the front two garage spaces and...
No, it's not. The proposal is not to remove the two front garage spaces. The proposal, according to the RDOT, they wanted us to remove the ability for someone to park in the back building, in the carriage house.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to, basically they requested us to remove the ability for someone to drive along the side.
Right.
And possibly park in the backyard or in the garage in the carriage house.
Right, but is the garage space in the main building being proposed to be converted to ADUs at all?
No,
just one of them.
There's a large basement in the main building. Therefore, we can cut away the back garage. There's two spaces currently in the base, and then a very large basement that has not been developed.
Okay.
So therefore, we're proposing to put a two-bedroom ADU in that space that's not part of the garage.
Okay. So the need for the curb cut going forward would be only for the two existing spaces that are in the front building?
That is correct.
Okay. And right now, it's obviously like an oversized curb cut, but you just want to bring it down. Since you have two side-by-side tandem parking spaces, you want the 20 feet to make sure they both have adequate maneuverability to back out into the street.
That's correct. Yeah. We would be reducing the curb cut, which is currently 33 feet, 3 inches, down to the 20-foot width.
Yeah, it's particularly difficult backing out onto Pine Street, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that's a bit of a thoroughfare. Okay, and so in response to the department's desire to kind of help ensure that the back patio area is not used as kind of open-air parking, what's proposed exactly? I mean, I know there's a gate.
Well, we're removing the paved area. And there was a goal. I know the RDOT actually looked at, or the planner looked at, the proposed changes to the project. And basically, she was fine with the removal of the driveway, but still retaining the gate that's currently there.
Mm-hmm.
There is a thought about also being able to not drive there, but to be able to bring some heavy equipment back if they ever need to clean.
Be able to access it by vehicle if needed.
Exactly, but the goal is not to have a paved. It's completely paved right now, so there's no landscaping, and also we do need a paved path at least to get people out of the building in a case of an egress for the building code.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So by removing the curb cut in the front there, that's directly off the street there, we believe that also prevents someone from driving back there.
Okay. And like you mentioned, right now, you know, legally, there's not a path forward to add any ADU in that rear structure, but is that...
Unfortunately, there's not.
Is that something... Well, it's a new construction legalization issue, but obviously new construction of code-conforming structures. Is there any... I mean, is that something that you feel like you're moving towards in the future if this is legalized, or is this something that's possible?
In an initial conversation with the planner, my understanding was that that wasn't possible. Recently learned that there's a 3-year wait to do that.
Right.
It's not an immediate part of the plan, but it would be great. I think it would help with the housing stock of the city and certainly make the property more useful.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens, that's great. If it doesn't happen, the carriage house at the back is still valuable addition to the property and all the people that would live in it.
Okay. Thank you. This is a interesting project overall. As you can probably imagine, the kind of the size and nature of the building in the rear to be legalized is kind of larger than typical. And if it was being proposed, you know, from scratch today, it would obviously be a challenge, but there's history here and there's a larger proposal for the site as well. So it's kind of a lot to take in and evaluate altogether. And even though some of the other work being proposed on the property is not what's triggering the variance, it is kind of all part of one proposal. So I want to make sure I'm fully understanding how that all coordinates together. So I'm definitely supportive of removing the garage in the rear and having it being used for bike parking and generally making that, you know, a place that would only at most be used for vehicular access when necessary. And definitely the curb cut up front would need to be reduced in size. We can continue to look and see if 20 feet is the appropriate amount or if there's some other amount that's a little different. So I will take this one under advisement and continue to work through some of those details with the planner.
Okay. And please reach out to us
if you have
questions. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Moving to the last item of the calendar, item number 10, case number 2018-013152 VAR 152 LC Street, front setback variance sought. Five minutes.
Good morning, Corey.
Morning.
So this is, LC is an unusual street. This is the context of the street. It's an uphill in two directions. So this is looking south. The building we're talking about in the fence is the one to the right. There's a lower sidewalk and there's an upper sidewalk. If you look north, you have the upper sidewalk. You can see the house, which is right over, the blue house mm-hmm. right here. That's the house and that's going uphill northwise. The issue with this is if you look north on the lower sidewalk, you have this kind of dead-end condition that goes to a driveway. And if you look southbound down the alley that LC meets Virginia, you have this alley with as much as an 18-foot retaining wall that leads to the street on the left side, and you have a whole slew of high fences for security reasons. This building happens to be the one right next to all the fences. And we have gotten letters of support for the fence. The adjacent fences to the south are consistent in height and mass. And if you look at the conditions of what was basically approved under the very first permit, we have these two images. You can see where the lower sidewalk is highlighted in yellow, and the upper sidewalk or the curb cut is at the front right here. And if you were to measure height from the curb, and I'm not sure which curb you're looking at, but the higher curb, this is less than 3 feet above grade. Okay. I know you're not looking at it that way. So, but it's an unusual site where Elsie Street keeps climbing uphill to the south, and this is really a matter of security. And the original permit was approved with the additional height, but somehow, I guess it was overlooked with regards to the code. And I do have the original set of plans with the additional height of the fence, et cetera. We have gotten letters of support from adjacent neighbors for the fence. They feel that it is a contribution to the rest of the fences along that southern side, and it provides security, and it's managed and it's well handled. And we're requesting the variance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak on this item?
I'm actually the owner.
Oh, well, if you want to take more of the time.
Sorry.
I'll give you 3 minutes, sir.
Yeah.
Never met the owner. Patrick.
Hi. We've lived in the home now for 5 years, and this is really a very unusual site condition. The alleyway is very, very dark and very isolated, so the fence provides a measure of security and privacy. But when you're looking at the house from the street, from Elsie Street, with that grade going up, the house is actually very exposed. And I think you can see that from some of the pictures there. So we really feel that this is a way of improving upon safety, not only for us as owners, but also for the people that do use that alleyway at night, because we're providing lighting there. There's no other lighting in that alleyway except for way down at the other end by Virginia Street. So I think this is a very unusual site. The house is actually quite exposed when you're looking at it from Elsie Street. And the alleyway is a very dangerous condition. So appreciate your consideration.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? I don't see any, so I will close public comment. Yeah, this was an unusual situation. There was a prior development. The fence was shown on some of the plans, but wasn't really called out. Technically, would have triggered a variance. I believe it only came to our attention because there was a complaint filed. But interestingly, through this variance process, I don't believe we've received any letters of opposition or concern. And as you mentioned, there's a very unusual context here that makes the building and the home very exposed, both from Elsie Street, but also it's a very unique context on the sidewalk itself. So I believe there are kind of exceptional, extraordinary circumstances, and I intend to grant the variance with the standard conditions.
Thank you.
That's our last item.
Thank you. So we are on to general public comment. Are there any members of the public who'd like to speak about any item that's not on today's agenda? We give people free rein and no one ever takes it.
Know.
They get 3 minutes to talk about anything. Board of Supervisors, people sing songs, and here we can't get anybody to say anything.
Hold on.
Oh no, I invited it.
Uh-oh.
Let me start the timer. 3 minutes.
Suhail Shatara. I do have comments on many, many topics, and I'm not sure where to start. Penthouses, for example. Penthouses are required by the fire department. Fire department requires them as a measure of security for egress. The roof, the roof hatches, which the fire department is getting away from because they're not a required means of egress on R2 occupancy buildings, 3 units or more. I think you and the fire department need to consider what they're considering. 311 for a penthouse, yeah, I understand that. We got away from the penthouses as of right many, many years ago. But you might consider a 75% transparency in the penthouses that you can approve without a 311 notification. And I would entertain that concept. Let's see, what else? There's a lot others, Corey, but I can't think of them right now.
It's okay.
But we should just have lunch one day and we can talk them over.
Yes. Well, my email is public, of course.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
But thank you for what I think is the first general public comment I've ever had. So.
And this is only because this is a recent discussion mm-hmm. with fire department.
Right.
Where the fire department now are requiring an administrative bulletin to have an inverted penthouse.
Right.
An inverted penthouse are the open stairs going down with the stair at the bottom of the right. landing. So I think there has to be greater discussion so we can come to an agreement as to how we can handle these things in a quick, appropriate fashion.
Thank you. And I always agree with more coordination across agencies.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, there's no other public comment. The meeting is adjourned.